for me, I would have never expected that it would be that song in particular, mm-hmm. but that's the number one thing people talk to me about at like conventions and stuff like that. They say, oh, more than anything, I have this relationship with my dad that's fraught sometimes, and like, who just, like, who doesn't have issues with their dad?
Who don't in this community?
I mean, come on. It's, I used to joke that like one of the reasons that everyone, that it's so, always so cutting when someone's like, meh, daddy issues, is because everyone has them. It's never not true.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. We are riding the rapids today. Joining me in the back of the canoe, steering me through all of this mysteriousness, is Cosmo from the Cosmo Network.
How you doing, love? Doing good?
I am so good. I am so excited for today. I have been like counting down the days, getting ready, because we have another amazing guest today. Woo. It's been, we've had a lot of guests recently, but I feel like it's been a minute since we've like plucked somebody from like out of our normal circle. Right. So it's really cool to just invite other people into our canoe and let them unload.
Exactly.
So are we ready to meet today's guest?
Oh yeah.
Drum roll. Imaginary. We can't hear it right now. But today we have joining us Sam Hoff.
Hello.
Sam is a platinum selling songwriter. You wrote like... How many? 60 songs is what Google says?
Oh, so for, I mean, for the Helliverse, for Has Been Hotel and Hell of a Boss, I think it's over 60 now.
That's insane.
By the time I am done with whatever I contractually need to finish, it'll be over 100.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's
There it is.
Wow. We got the damn button right out really the gate. Early. I want to say that's a record. I hope it is. Wow. I hope like... 8 words into a guest. I'm going to check.
Yeah, I think
I'm
you do.
Go back and
yes,
check.
You're going to watch all the episodes and see. Yeah. Honestly, I think that is a record.
Yeah.
That's incredible though. 60 songs, like that's insane.
It's a lot. And every time we start sort of a new set of them, it always feels like we're never going to have another idea ever again. And then we start writing and we're like, oh yeah, no, that makes sense. This is kind of new.
Yeah.
But I think also part of the credit there is to the creative team and Vivian who creates the shows in that, like she has a lot of fresh ideas for songs where we'll have thought we can do every possible song. And then she comes up with some wacky idea and we go, wow, well, I've never even heard a song like this. So I'm not out of ideas when it comes to writing it yet.
Oh, I love that. Oh, the shows are so good. If you've never seen Has Been Hotel or Hell of a Boss, you're really missing out. Like, we're big fans of the shows on this podcast. So maybe when you're done with this episode, you should go watch them.
Oh, heck yeah.
But, like, make sure to stay around for the Patreon because we've got some questions for you later.
Yes, can't wait.
Yes. But I really wanted to have you on the show because there's a lot of, like, hype and stigma when people are on the come up and on the rise of, like, what they were, like, born to do, what they were made to do. But a lot of times we kind of put this shield in front of ourselves where we present ourselves differently than we actually are. We have this tendency to be very polished and to be... It's not like you're pretending that you're not who you are, but it's like perfection. And we love having guests on the show to just kind of let them be human and talk about something that makes them feel a little delusional. So I'd love to know, like, what runs wild in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, for me, my Delulu thought is precisely on that topic. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe I'm Delulu that I just get to be, like, normal and weird without second-guessing it anymore.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the fandom world and the way that suddenly anyone who's making art in a public way gets treated like, oh, like, now you're an influencer, now... your sort of whole personal life kind of belongs to everybody. Like that is one of those things that I have definitely like had trouble adapting to mentally.
Well, because you were in a band beforehand, right?
Yes. And the band is a popular band. We're called The Living Tombstone. And, you know, there was already a lot of attention on the band, but it didn't feel like personal attention on me.
Oh, okay.
It felt like it was like, oh, it's attention on the project. Mm-hmm. It would be like people posting about Helva or Has Been, where, you know, they're posting about the thing, they're not posting about me personally. Mm-hmm. And I feel like part of the, you know, what I thought at the time was like, what a great thing mm-hmm. with Has-Been is like, oh, now people are paying attention to me personally as an artist, but there is that sort of double-edged element to it where mm-hmm. like now, like people are really paying attention. And I think, you know, social media and existing as a person online, I never really thought of it in a way as like, oh, like people are looking at this.
You
know, I was thinking about it in terms of posting, not in terms of posting for people.
For sure. You were just posting to post and now all of a sudden you're like, oh, I have an audience here that actually wants to see what I'm up to.
Yeah. And it's weird because it makes you think before, you know, not that everyone should think before they post.
Yeah.
That's important. PSA, think before you post. But but it makes you think before you post in a different way. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, oh, who's going to be reading this? What are their feelings on this topic?
Yeah. It's
a whole weird can of worms that exists for me now because I'm such a people pleaser.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. Like, I am desperate to be liked. No, it's – I mean, I think it's, you know, let's get real deep for a sec.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's like a fear of abandonment thing where it's like if I'm not, you know, if I'm not being sort of useful and kind and all of these things, then it's like, oh, then people will – toss me away in the garbage. So there's this people pleaser component of, oh, what if I bother people? What if I say something people don't like that I wish wasn't in my head, but now is?
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people that turn to the arts actually have a lot of people pleaser in them because what is, you know, a show without an audience? What is, you know, a movie, TV show, stage performance? It's like, you have to please a certain crowd. Doesn't have to be every crowd, but people have to like what you make.
Yeah.
Otherwise, then you won't make any money. So I relate to the people pleasing aspect of it. And even your job, like you said, Vivian brings you an idea. And of course, for you, you're like, okay, well, I want to make her an idea that she will like.
Oh, totally. And I've talked about this before, that when we're writing songs for her shows, we're not really thinking like, oh, what is the audience going to think? How are we going to please them? It's all about her. Like, it's how, because this is such a, both of them are such auteur projects where it's really all about, like, how do we represent her vision? Studio stuff, you can think more like, well, how is the audience in general going
for
to take
sure.
this? But something that is so creator driven, it's all about, like, is Viv going to like this song? Is Viv going to like this musical thing and that element of it? So I like to say that we're really creating for an audience of one, and then it's her job to think about the audience as a whole. One of the things that's so lovely about writing for these shows is that that doesn't really become our problem.
Yeah. Oh, that's got to be like a little stressful though, because like that fandom is huge.
Yeah, we went to the premiere
for
Has-Been Hotel, and there was like a million people in the theater, like already dressed up and ready to rock and roll. I'm like, wow.
And we were put in like the celebrity one.
Yeah.
Like, did you know that?
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I don't know who pulled what strings or who knew that we were going, but they were like, no, put them in that theater. We were like, okay.
Hell yeah.
Could have been Morgan.
Just happy to be there. We were just, you know, us and our little gang. We all had so much fun.
It was fun. I had such a blast.
Yeah.
And then it's personally my favorite character is Husk.
Aww.
And like Husk is like everything. Okay, Keith David.
Legend.
Yes.
I love Keith David from Gargoyles being Goliath to Spawn, my favorite comic character.
Yeah. But also on camera, The Thing. Oh my God. They Live.
They Live.
Yep.
Everything. And from the Pitch Black too, when he did all those.
I liked him in Princess and the Frog.
Princess and the Frog. Yes.
That was our jumping off point too when we were writing for, because that was the first thing I could think of when I think like, oh, we have to write a song for Keith.
Yeah.
The first thing I could think of was like, oh, well, here's Keith singing a song.
Yep.
And what Friends on the Other Side is such an incredible song.
Yes.
The whole Princess and the Frog soundtrack is amazing, but I think Friends on the Other Side is like standout.
Yeah, I agree.
Part of it was figuring out, like, well, what do we do for Keith that doesn't feel like we're just doing Dr. Facilier?
Yeah, it's got to be different.
Yeah.
Well, his character is just, like, it's right up my alley. He's a bartender with, like, little attitude and cards and whatnot. I'm like, oh, and the yellow eyes. I'm just like, ah! It's like dream come true. I'm like,
oh yeah,
chef's kiss. Oh, but that song, so the loser one, loser, baby. I love that song.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So many great songs. And I also read somewhere, and I'm curious if this is true, that you're the scratch track for a lot of these artists. Where For all of them?
Yes.
That's incredible.
Yeah. The only thing that I was not scratching was Erica's part in More Than Anything in season one.
Really? Oh, that's high.
Yeah, it's way in the rafters.
Actually, you had pointed out the music sheet, the music stand I had out there.
Yeah.
That's the song I sang that booked me that show.
More Than Anything?
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is actually the song that most people talked. It's, and for me, I would have never expected that it would be that song in particular, mm-hmm. but that's the number one thing people talk to me about at like conventions and stuff like that. They say, oh, More Than Anything, I have this relationship with my dad that's fraught sometimes, and like who doesn't have issues with their dad in this community I mean, come on. It's I used to joke that like one of the reasons that everyone that it's so always so cutting when someone's like meh, daddy issues, is because everyone has them. It's never not true. It's like every single person on earth has issues with their dad. It's just, I think part of it is just, I would say maybe the median quality of dads in the world. I think it's why are you putting that on the people receiving the dads? It's on the dads.
Come on dads
Dads. Anyway,
we have some dads that watch the show, so it'll get to them.
I am a dad, and dads deserve that forceful point.
Sorry, continue. Yes. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, but most people do talk to me about More Than Anything. And that is one of those songs where when we were writing it, it was actually the first song we wrote. So it was out of sight, out of mind earlier than any of the rest of the soundtrack. So we were just not thinking about it for so long that when all of a sudden the show came out and everyone's talking to me about More Than Anything, I was like, that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there another song that you thought would be more popular or thought Poison?
Ready for This.
Oh!
Ready for This. That was one where, to me, I was like, this is kind of Charlie's Let It Go. Like, it's a really kind of determined and, like, leadership-full side of Charlie. And being able to see Charlie throughout that song show a side of herself that we don't like. She's so sort of meek and like, I don't want to be mean and I don't want to be assertive, and her taking control for the first time. For me, like every time I would hear Ready for This, I would be like, oh, this is it. This is Charlie's big moment. And I thought that song was going to be a huge, huge, huge song. Mm. But More Than Anything, which I wasn't spending that much time thinking about what has become such a thing. You know, I knew Poison would be great.
Yeah. So I actually have an album out currently right now, but there's a few songs that aren't quite out yet. I'm doing like a drop every couple of weeks.
Cool.
Because I'm doing a variety album. So none of the songs are in the same genre.
Cool.
Just to kind of like see what I vibe with, see what people like. And the one song that is going to come out literally probably like 2 or 3 weeks after this episode comes out is the one that we worked the least on, but it's the one that we've gotten the most attention for behind the curtain.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see what people vibe with when you don't put a lot of time in something, but it's because a lot of time it's just naturally in us.
Yeah, I think that's real. Like, you know, there are so many stories of, oh, this hit song was written in like an hour and a half. Well, that's because like it was just written so organically and the writer was in such a sort of creative flow state. Like it's not a sign of how little effort it was. It's a sign of how like purely creative it was.
Mm-hmm. And you work alongside Andrew
Underberg.
But he doesn't have a social media.
No, he doesn't. He's actually well adjusted.
What?
Yeah. He's normal.
What's that like?
I wish I knew. He's got normal levels of dopamine and serotonin.
Cool.
And stuff. And
I want a slice of that cake.
Yeah.
I want to not care so much about what people think. But so is it mainly you both together in a room collaborating?
Yes.
Or is it like tons of people watching you work?
No. It's we don't work under observation, really.
Good.
Yeah. Although actually there was a song or two where Viv was in New York for the premiere or for the sort of, for the sort of screening launch day event for Has Been in January of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, where we were working on stuff for season two of Has Been, mm-hmm. and Viv popped in to what I affectionately call the dungeon, which is Andrew has an apartment in New York that has a basement where his studio is.
Oh, cool.
Viv popped into the dungeon and like kind of got to see what it looks like when we're creating music. Mm-hmm. And that was exciting to have someone there.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think we work probably the most naturally when it's just
You know, both.
Us and I live in LA. He lives in New York. We spend hours every day on Zoom. We are probably, you know, Zoom's bandwidth data bill or whatever is mainly us.
Wow. That's incredible. I had no idea that you both were on the different coasts.
Yeah.
I never would have guessed
that. We visit each other to, you know, especially if we're worried about getting behind on a deadline, mm-hmm. I will fly out or he will fly out and we'll spend a few days like working even longer than Zoom would allow.
Yeah.
But
they kick you out after an hour if you don't pay, by the way. If you didn't know.
Oh no. We are enterprise Zoom business. Yeah, clients. Yeah.
You're like top gold tier.
Yes. But part of it is like, you know, you spend that much time on Zoom and your brain just starts turning into mush after a few hours.
No.
And so being in person, like it does allow more just being able to work for longer, being able to be a little bit more instant and spontaneous.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And then you can decline ideas if they're kind of like, that's good, but maybe we could go more in this direction. It's a little easier when you can hear it in person.
Oh, totally. I think all feedback feels more collaborative too when you're face to face.
Yeah, yeah. So when you're working on writing a new song or just like working together, do you typically stick to like one project at a time and then you finish and then move to the next? Or do you both kind of bounce between projects?
I think part of it is when we're in a cadence of writing for a season of Has Been, mm-hmm. usually the timeline is like pretty intense. Mm. So we don't have a ton of time to do other stuff when we're in a Has Been working cadence.
Gotcha.
When we're done with a season of Has Been, often we end up working on a season of Hell of a Boss. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, that's a lot more loosey-goosey. The schedule is a lot more flexible. We're both doing a lot of other stuff when we're working on Hell of a Boss. When we're working on Has Been, that is the primary thing we're doing.
Yeah.
Which is tough when there are other things to do. Right now, we are finishing up for The Living Tombstone. We're finishing up our upcoming album. We've got a couple videos to shoot. We are preparing for a world tour.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so there is stuff to do outside of Has Been, and I am somehow finding time to do that and be a dad.
I was gonna say, do you sleep or?
Sleep is the thing that suffers. That is.
I bet.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. Picked up some pills.
Great.
I'm doing fine. I got an earring because I'm doing fine.
There you go.
I'm doing so fine.
Make an appointment with your doctor if you're watching this.
To get an earring to show how fine you're doing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, is that like a sign of like not doing well?
I feel like mental instability? For me, it was my version of getting bangs.
Okay, I was going to say, you know I mean? Feel like women like, color their hair.
Yeah, yeah.
Men get an ear piercing.
Yes, well, I also colored my hair. So I'm two for two.
You're
That's
in.
How fine I am.
So then do you advocate a lot on social media at all for like mental health or like dad awareness? Like what do you usually find yourself?
Awareness.
What do you usually find yourself like? Because you talked about how now all these eyes are on you.
Yeah.
And my theory is that you're getting a lot more attention now because Spotify Wrapped like put your name on a lot of people's like top five.
Totally.
And then they all went, who is this?
Yeah.
I saw so many people on TikTok being like, who is this guy? And then they would find you and they're like, duh. Yeah.
They were more confused when they found Andrew because again, he doesn't exist online.
Yeah. And like the photo is like,
I believe it's like a chimpanzee rendered in paint.
Yes. Yeah. So people were like,
yes.
What is happening?
Yeah. And that's like to air Andrew's dirty laundry a little bit. His wife's nickname for him is like Monkey.
Oh,
so it's the sweetest thing in the world.
That's
they are
dirty laundry.
They're so in love.
Pure. Oh,
they're so in love, and I love them so much. He has these like, you know, chimpanzee profile pictures, which is like just because he's like he's offline, but he's in love, and
he's, like, I'm busy.
It's you know like that's just sort of his. His apartment, he has a ton of like, you know, throw pillows with monkeys on them and stuff. Like, that's I feel like that is his, his sort of animal that represents him.
That's his version of Pokemon for yes. me, where yeah. I've got Pokemon literally everywhere yes. surrounding us.
What is your, I see a ton of Eevees everywhere. Are you an Eevee person?
So I'm really not an Eevee person, to be honest, but like, with, I mean, if you look at any of the Eevee art, it has all of them on it.
Yes,
so
that's
a
true.
Lot of times when people gift me things, it's like they'll get me like a whole Eevee set of yes. like all of them because it's easier. Pokemon? I'm Pikachu. Well, like I drive a yellow car oh, and I want to get a Pikachu wrap.
That's
so
adorable.
I don't know why, but Pikachu like really stuck with me. Like my favorite number is 25 and he's like the 25th Pokemon. I don't know. I just we're cool. We vibe.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I think people look, you know, my relating to this is mm-hmm. people go like, oh, really, that one? When you pick the one that's kind of the mascot for the franchise,
yeah.
which I feel too, because my favorite Muppet, Kermit.
Mm. I read that somewhere.
Yeah.
Yes.
And but it's, I, you know, I get it. He's like the Muppet, but uh-huh. also there are things about Kermit that I greatly relate to. And I'm sure the same is with Pikachu.
Oh, for sure.
It's the same way with the X-Men. Everyone picks Wolverine. Just Wolverine, Wolverine, Wolverine.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I like Gambit. Gambit's like the character that just needs to.
We've got excellent sideburns, so
exactly,
I feel like,
exactly.
Yeah, although that's a Wolverine thing too, I guess.
Yes, mutton chops.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like usually you just pick the thing that you're like most drawn to, and it's usually something you have a lot of similarities with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw you picked Kermit because you're a workaholic.
Yes, I am actually getting a Kermit tattoo tomorrow.
No way. Yes. Where?
On my ankle, and oh. it is so. My favorite Muppet movie is Muppet Treasure Island. Yours too?
No, my best friend's favorite movie. Like, yeah.
It's I love it so much. And there is a shot from Muppet Treasure Island when Kermit is about to sword fight Tim Curry.
Yes.
And he's got his sort of saber out and he's got his shirt open and he has a tattoo of Miss Piggy on his
yes!
chest.
Yes.
And I want to get that shot of Kermit.
Oh
on my ankle.
You have to post that on Instagram.
Oh, I for sure will.
You're not allowed to not to. I will DM you and just be like, where's that photo?
100%. Oh. It's going online tomorrow. Well, which will be well
say,
before
be,
this comes out.
I was like, will it be done in one go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a smallish tattoo.
I see. I don't have any tattoos, so I don't know what that process is like.
What? It's a Pringles thing. Like, once you pop, you like, I got one in October of 2023, mm-hmm. and then in the span of like a year and 2 months now, I have like 5 tattoos. I'm about to get my 6th. So it's just one of those things where the moment you have one, it's like, well, I've started to decorate the walls. I better put stuff up everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it just, once you start, you're like, well, I'm a tattooed person now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I don't have enough tattoos as a tattooed person.
Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm very particular about, because I love so many different things, but I have like phases of like being obsessed with a show. And then I kind of like have to take a little bit of a break. So there's a tattoo idea that I've talked about for myself here, but like I haven't shared with everybody. I can talk to you about it after we're
okay.
cut. But like
okay.
I have an
okay.
idea that I've been like kind of testing out. So I might become like a 1 or 2 tattooed person, but I gotta wait because I'm still, I mean, you're in the acting industry still,
yeah.
like you still act, and yes, now they can like cover a lot of things, but I'm pretty known online just because I used to do a lot of like art nude modeling. So people are like, oh, her body is the canvas. So,
right.
but I don't do it anymore as much. So I'm kind of in the phase where it's like, is now the time to rebel? Because, like, acting is a little bit more different than, like, being the model. So.
That's true. I mean,
I'm debating.
I think also it depends on the tattoos you get, too.
Yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
I think, I mean, so far, all the tattoos that I have, with the exception of the incoming Kermit,
mm-hmm.
sort of, like, follow, like, anatomical contours. Like, it's, like, sort of up the center line of my forearms
yeah.
and stuff like that. So I think that's part of it is if you... That was how I approached it because I know a lot of people with tattoos they regret or feel like they got too many tattoos. And I think part of it is like when the placement stops feeling intentional where it's just like, oh, I just want to get this and I'll just get it anywhere. That's when it starts feeling like a lot of tattoos. And so I think there is a balance and I feel like more and more because more people are tattooed nowadays.
I agree.
I feel like that's what once became an obstacle in film and TV is like, well, if they're tasteful and they look nice on you, then they're just an accessory that you're always wearing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like that you hit the nail on the head where it's like now it's hard to find somebody who doesn't have a tattoo.
Yeah.
Especially in LA. I feel like you hit a rock, you hit a talented person. Or wait, you hit a rock. You throw a rock, you hit a talented person. Don't hit rocks. And you hit somebody with like a tattoo and or colored hair. Yeah. So it's becoming more normalized here, which is great. I've just been like dabbling with the idea because I don't want to impulse get something that,
that's true.
Like you said, so many people have that one that they don't want to get, and the removal process is incredibly painful, is what I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard it hurts a lot more than getting the tattoo. Although I will say, as someone who recently didn't have tattoos, I was so positive that getting a tattoo would hurt so much because everyone always is like, oh my God, tattoos hurt so much. It doesn't hurt that much.
Do you have like a high pain tolerance though?
No.
Okay, because I don't
such
either.
A bitch.
Same.
I'm a small woodland creature.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, I jump scare at everything.
Same.
Yeah. Do
paper cuts hurt you?
Oh, yeah.
And you complain about them? Yep.
100%.
Me.
So this is if you, I didn't see a cat, but if you've ever owned a cat, mm-hmm. and been scratched by a cat, it feels kind of like being scratched by a cat nail.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
But I think part of it is they keep the scariness of like, oh, tattoos hurt, to discourage people from deciding to get tattoos.
Yeah. I've had people like talk to me about like, because there's a placement that I want to get this tattoo that I've hypothetically talked about to a couple people, and they're all like, no, you can't get it there. Like, they won't tattoo anyone there on their first one. And I'm like, I'll go ask somebody else. Then.
I also think like that's, you know, there are some tattoo artists who may have rules about that.
For sure.
But largely that's not true. If you if you don't seem drunk, I think they'll probably tattoo you whatever
sober.
You want.
You also got to think about the skin, the area where it's going to be growing a lot, where it stretches a lot.
Yeah.
And like armpit. No.
Damn.
Oh, God.
Like
armpit. Yeah. That was what I was thinking, man.
Like, like armpit or like even some parts, areas in the back, knees, hands, the top of the hands, everything like stretches out and grows.
Yeah.
You know, what used to be a piercing up here is now moved because of the scar. My skin just moved. So it's skin does that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Skin do be doing that.
Yeah.
Do you ever get people that like DM you? Like really creepy questions that are like, so you say you have 5 tattoos.
Yes.
Where's the
does that happen a lot? I think I mean, I don't want to like out anyone who's DM'd me, but I've gotten some interesting ones. I would say most of the interesting DMs I get are actually fans of the band. I think the has-been fans aren't sliding into my DMs the way that the band people are.
That's good, I guess.
Yeah. I think, it's that has been interesting. Like, my wife has like a private Instagram, and she gets new follower requests constantly, and it's just always like, oh, who are they following? Oh, just my husband. That does happen a lot.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah, it happens sometimes with my sisters, sometimes my mom.
Oh no! Oh gosh!
Oh, which I mean, it's They're adults.
I mean, it happens to my mom, but she loves it. Like, my mom's all about it. And I'm like, hi, mom. Just don't tell them anything weird about me.
Yeah.
Or maybe do. Then maybe they won't slide into your DMs.
Yeah.
But
well, I think part of it, too, is, like, my wife has a private Instagram so that, like, she can share friends, like, pictures of our child.
Yes.
And stuff like that. So it's like, that's not a space for fans to be.
Makes sense. Yeah. Oh, I can't even imagine, like, because I'm not dating anybody or, like, married or any of that, but I couldn't imagine, like, them getting DMs from fans and how that would turn out. So I'm sorry that that happens.
Yeah. It's, you know, she gets DM questions sometimes, too, that are interesting. Mm. But, yeah, so that's what will happen.
My advice would be like post your baby more. Like, as long as you, like, keep showing that you're happy and, like, have a baby,
oh,
maybe
no,
people
that,
will...
Trust me, does not affect the DMs at all.
Really?
No. I'm always posting about my wife. That's why people keep requesting to follow her.
Oh.
So, no, that is not a deterrent.
Well,
yeah.
Shoot, I tried.
Yeah.
Although, so it doesn't get better, does it?
No. No, but it's fine. I mean, it's, you know, that's... I'm not bitter or anything about, like, you know, because I'm getting to... like live my dreams or whatever. So it's, you know, it's the cost of doing business,
yeah,
to an extent, mm-hmm, is that kind of parasocial element. I mean, there are elements of it that obviously bother me, that especially as a people pleaser, this idea that like, oh, I don't really have control over what strangers think of me anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's just sort of like, I belong to them now. I don't get to decide who I am.
Mm-hmm.
They get to decide who I am after interpolating a series of, you know, facts or posts or whatever. So
yeah,
that obviously, I think that's causes me constant, a low level of constant psychic damage.
Yeah.
But outside of that, like, it's, you know, I get to do this. I'm very lucky that I get to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you're doing it successfully too. Like, that's the whole point of, you know, loving your art so much.
Yes.
And seeing that other people relate to it and love it. It's just unfortunate, though, that people can take it to the next level and make things a little weird. But it sounds like you're handling it. I know you joke about your mental health a little bit here and there.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're handling it really well.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Is
I
great.
Was a disaster first. So
oh,
it's,
no.
No, I'm,
story time?
No. I'm just like, I am not neurotic because of it. I'm an already neurotic person experiencing it.
Like, I started this way.
Yeah.
Gotta finish strong.
Yeah. I could have been depressed and, you know, offline.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's a reason how your story, like, began and, like, what brought you to the places that you're at now.
Totally.
And you're enjoying it. It seems like you're doing what you need to do and working really hard. And hopefully not too much that you're... You
way
know,
too much, but that's okay. And on the advocacy side, we've bobbed and weaved.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, we've zigged and zagged. But I do a lot of advocacy. There's a specific actually group that I work with called A4TE.
Oh.
Which is sort of, there was a nonprofit I worked with called the Trans Legal Defense and Education Fund.
Oh,
TILDEF.
We love that.
TILDEF are amazing. I love TILDEF. And TILDEF have sort of merged into a greater entity called A4TE, I think it's Advocates for Trans Equality.
Oh, wow.
And they merged with, there are a lot of names to remember.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
They merged with a Washington, D.C. based trans advocacy group as well, and that's the combination of them is A4TE.
Got it. Okay.
I think the DC one is TCFE, Trans Center for Equality. I want to say that was the one in DC, which I wasn't working with, but then TILDEF combined with them, and now I'm working with A4TE.
Wow. Well, we'll make sure that on the bottom of the screen for everybody watching.
Please support them.
We'll put it there.
Yeah.
Is there like a donate button?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You
can
donate, and it's very welcome. We as in the band, the Living Tombstone, we've been donating to them for consistently for a long time. We, in fact, our most recent original song about Five Nights at Freddy's was 50% of all the revenue of that song since it has come out.
Wow.
Goes just directly, we direct deposit it with them.
Oh, that's
which
incredible.
Which is great, because I feel like it's a great cause, and it's a way to like provide this nonprofit with a source of passive income.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, oh, hey, like, please give one at a time. It's just, it's like constantly flowing through. A4TE, they need it now more than ever. The website is a4te.org. It would be super awesome if they got some extra donations out of this, because they're great people.
Yeah. Charity is important.
Yes.
Charity is important.
Yeah. Honestly, I've been looking for another way because I've done like a 24-hour Twitch stream.
Oh, cool.
Where I'll, like everybody that donates, I'll meet the donations.
Awesome.
I did, what is it called? The Autism Society like a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was really fun because they have like a headquarters here. So I like brought them like the, you know, the check.
That's
and did
cool.
the whole fun thing. And I've been itching to do another like big charity, like where it kind of brings everybody together and we all, you know, go for another cause. So maybe we'll look into doing that one next.
They're really great. You know, obviously I've been working with them for a long time. The first time I met them was actually a 24-hour stream.
No way!
Yeah. So a friend of mine, a voice actor, Jesse Nowak, was raising money, and we were raising money with him for top surgery. And so that was, and so we got that amount. And actually, that's the first time I met Viv in person.
No way.
Yeah, the first time I met Vivienne was she was a guest on this 24-hour D&D stream we were doing for Jesse's top surgery.
Oh, wow.
And Viv was the guest that was on the stream at the time we hit the goal. So it was like a really big moment that we all got to share.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the extra money that we raised for Jesse's top surgery that was more than the amount, mm-hmm. we split it between Trans Lifeline and TLDEF, Trans Legal Defense and Education Fund.
Oh my gosh.
And that's where that relationship with TLDEF started.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was in 2019.
Incredible. Whoa. So, okay, it's not that long, but like... 2019 seems like a long ways
it's
away.
It's a lifetime ago.
Yeah.
It's...
The panini was yeah. something.
Yes.
Dang. Well, that is so cool. I didn't even know that she was into D&D.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know that Viv is into D&D.
Got it. Okay.
But Viv was a very good D&D, you know, participant for charity.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense yeah. then. So then in 2019 is when you all had met. Then you just like ended up working for her and springboarding from that?
So
or?
No, it's...
That's crazy.
Viv and I were like not at all in touch through the charity stream. It was later in 2019 when I moved to LA with my music partner in the Living Tombstone, Yoav. And Yoav had a housewarming party that he introduced me to Viv.
Oh.
And Yoav was already the reason that we like linked up with Viv to get her on the stream in the first place.
Gotcha.
And he and Viv go way, way, way back.
Cool.
And so he introduced me to Viv at this housewarming party of his. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, you know, you at the time, the Has-Been pilot had not come out yet. Mm. But he said, hey, I know you're making a lot of like funny musical stuff. Here is Sam. He writes songs with me and he's funny. So you should work with him. Yeah. And we went and we got lunch at Bob's Big Boy. And she,
yes.
so good. Classic, LA classic.
Yes.
R.I.P. David Lynch. Oh. And Viv basically kind of pitched me on Hell of a Boss. And I thought, this sounds amazing. I would love to be involved any way I can. And I sent her a bunch of my past songwriting work. And she assigned me my first song ever for the Helliverse, which was a song in episode 2 of Hell of a Boss called You Will Be Okay. Mm-hmm. And that song like really struck a chord with people. And she really loved it. And so assigned me another song, then another and another and another. And now as we talked about before, it is soon to be 100.
Yeah, that is insane. Like, what a cool story. I feel like so many people get kind of caught in this like, oh, you have to make friends with people in order to like move forward. When it's like, no, you make friends with people to elevate each other.
Yeah.
And then it's like a bonus if they introduce you to their network and you introduce them to, you know, vice versa. And then all of a sudden, like everybody's working, which is the goal of LA. That's the lifeblood of LA.
Totally. And I think there is the idea of being like competitive with your fellow creatives is inherently like it's anti-social and it's that kind of pro-social behavior of like, We're all gonna make it together. That is how those great introductions happen. Like Yoav wouldn't have introduced me to Viv if I didn't seem like a good guy. You know, like I think that's part of it. Is there are a lot of people who approach things in kind of a transactional way.
Yeah,
and you know, even if you're being upfront about it being transactional, it doesn't let people see a more personal side of you. Mm-hmm. Of course, the flip side of that is there are people who feel like they need to be like on and like pro-social constantly and need to be like someone they've just met being like, hey, what can I do for you? Can I just checking in? And I think that it, even if it's not artificial, has a tendency to come off as artificial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's with all things in moderation.
True.
Yeah. I feel like we have a really great community here where we haven't really brought anyone in that, well, one, I'm usually a pretty good gauge of like people and how, I don't know, if I think they'll vibe with my other friends or like if I think they would do really well on the show. I feel like we do a really great job of keeping like this community safe and like allowing people the space here to vent about things that maybe they wouldn't share on their Instagram. And
yeah,
I think that's important is also just like setting boundaries and being aware of like, does this person seem like chaos? Is it good chaos or bad chaos?
I feel like setting boundaries ties back into our whole Delulu thing.
It because does.
That is what I have had to learn to do.
Yeah.
Because I think when Has-Been first came out, I like being an open book. I like being really transparent, telling everyone anything about me. Like,
for sure.
I don't like keeping things to myself. And I, after Has-Been came out, realized that I needed to start doing that because the more I shared of myself, the more it felt like I didn't, like that wasn't mine anymore.
Yeah.
And that was a real thing I had to learn about, was how to set those sort of boundaries and how to not like have an aspect of myself that I need everyone to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of it. And it's there's nothing I would take back, like sharing.
Yeah.
But I do think it has made me more thoughtful in the way I do share things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, it's thoughtfulness maybe is a better word than boundaries.
Yeah.
But it is a form of boundaries.
It's
a way of saying, like, you know, it's enough for the people. It's like your tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
It's enough for the people in your life and the people that you care about to know about this thing. It doesn't need to be there because there is not just for your friends anymore.
Right.
There is for everybody.
Yeah. Well, and then everybody puts in their 2 cents and I'm kind of like, no,
oh, yeah.
I have an idea. Don't give me your 2 cents.
Yeah.
Some people ask me, it's like, what does your tattoos mean? I was like, got to find a decoder first and like decode everything and whatnot. And after you do and you find the secret, come tell me and I'll give you a surprise.
Yeah.
There you go.
There,
put him on a mission.
Scavenger hunt.
There is no decoder.
Like, yeah,
decoder,
right. Well, thank you for being open to coming on the show. Like, we were complete strangers before this, so I appreciate you letting down your guard and coming over and just being Delulu with us.
I love to be Delulu.
And thank you for your talent.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's too.
That is
so kind of you.
That is amazing. To work with different genre of music, to work with something you love, your passion, chef's kiss.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Like, and a testament to that is Mastermind. If you haven't heard that song, that one is a roller coaster. So go listen to it. It'll shock you.
I think that was the song that really got us Has-Been from Helluva.
Really?
Yeah, because Andrew and I had done, it was so... I had been doing Helluva by myself. I wasn't the only songwriter, but the songs that I was writing them on my own. And then I got assigned a song called Clown Bitch, which is still one of my favorites.
Yes.
And I called my friend from high school. Andrew and I have known each other for 21 years.
Wow.
So I called I'm 35. I'm old. Am I?
No.
I mean, it makes me feel better. I'm 43.
You are not 43.
It turned on the 8th. Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, you look great.
Yeah.
Thanks. Well, you know, I've got some help. Thank you, doctor.
Skincare.
Yeah. No, it's I'm just like clothespins back here.
That's why Pikachu's in the back. He's got you.
Yeah. Pikachu's holding my Botox syringe. So I've known Andrew for 21 years.
Yes.
And Andrew at the time I knew was doing a lot of like producing in K-pop. And
the
reference for Clown Bitch was like, hey, we want kind of a K-pop-y song.
Yeah.
So I brought Andrew in on Clown Bitch. We made that. Then we made the following song in the episode, a song called 2 Minutes Notice. And then after that, I had a next song assignment, which I brought Andrew into, which was the song Mastermind. And it was a much more sort of theatrical and musical theatery song. But it has some kind of like almost like 80s Jim Steinman Meatloaf kind of poppy thing.
Yeah.
Towards the, like, power rock thing at the end. It's fun.
So good.
After we did Mastermind, very shortly after that, Viv was like, hey, I think I'd like you guys to write songs on Has-Been. And
then we
became the only guys writing songs on Has-Been, and the rest is history.
Wow. That's incredible.
That's
stories
awesome.
Like that, I always love having the platform to share, because you just never know like what thing is just gonna like grow into the garden of like your career, your job, and like the things that you clearly were like born to do. So thank you for sharing.
Shucks.
But because we unfortunately have to wrap up this river ride, where can our followers find you?
You can find me at Sam Haft Music on Instagram. You can find me at Sam Haft on Twitter. You can find me at samhaft.com on Blue Sky.
Hey.
Or at Fun Comfortable on TikTok.
Oh, okay. I love that.
Yeah. It's
different name.
did not at the time think like, oh, I need branding. and so when I joined TikTok in, I want to say 2019, yeah. I joined TikTok and I made my name Fun Comfortable and I made my profile picture Sonic and Mario kissing.
Nice.
And oh my God, that's amazing.
That is still my profile picture, even though I have been told that they will not verify me on TikTok if that stays my profile picture. I don't care. I'm in too deep. It's Sonic and Mario kissing. That's until dope. I pass away.
You're like, I've committed to the bit.
Yes, I've committed to it. I'm in too deep.
I just started watching those three movies.
Which the ones? Sonic movies?
Yeah, the Sonic movies. Yeah. They're pretty good. They're pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. They're really like, they're as good as you could possibly have expected a Sonic movie to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim Carrey, man.
Oh,
we
so
love,
good.
We respect. And our last question for you is, this is our Delulu logo. It's very lovely. So when people come on, they pick which character they kind of relate the most to. So is there one that you're kind of like, ooh, I'm a little bit of a scaredy cat, or I'm more of like a bossy dog? Or like a bear who's just watching the chaos ensue.
Oh, man. I mean, I would say between the three of them, I would say I'm a scaredy cat because I have a lot of anxiety. Oh. But I do. I feel like there are times that I am in a like positive Kermit-y way, a bossy dog. Like,
there you go.
I feel like I do have to be very type A a lot of the time.
Yeah, I get that. So a little bit of the hybrid.
Yeah, yeah.
Cosmo, what about you? How are you feeling today?
I'm the one in the back, as always.
You're the bear in the back?
The bear in the back, yeah.
Bear in the back.
I'm so surprised, because you've been the dog for like 3 weeks now. I'm happy to see you branching out emotionally.
Oh, I love that this is kind of like a mood ring of where you're at currently.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I feel like I'm the bear today, because I'm just like in awe. Like, it's just been like so cool that you were even like willing and able to come.
I'm so happy to do it. Yeah. I am a certified yapper. And so
same.
I am happy to yap always. Yeah,
I feel that energy. But thank you all so much for joining us today. Be sure to leave us a 5-star review if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. We only have like 5 reviews right now over there. So like, please help us out. And also be sure to share with y'all friends on YouTube and everywhere you listen. And stay Delulu, because then all of your dreams will come true, Lulu. And join us on Patreon for more. Bye, everybody.
Bye.